Way Talk here on Public Radio, WEAA 88.9, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm Carol Williams.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
Former Senator Barbara Robinson's service to the state of Maryland began in 1966. She became the first woman and the first African-American in the history of the Maryland judicial system to hold the positions of Chief of the Maryland Traffic Division, Deputy Administrator of the District Court, the Supreme Bench, and the Circuit Court. Welcome to Two-Way Talk, Senator Barbara Robinson.
I thank you so very much. Thank you to Anthony McCarthy, who we go way back. And I'm so glad to hear you on the air.
Thank you. It's great for us to have you on the air. Today we're talking about small businesses and the impact of the pandemic, specifically on Black small businesses. You are one of the leaders in our state on minority and small businesses. How have a lot of businesses, small businesses, how have they been served during the pandemic? I see a lot of closed for business signs on a lot of doors.
You know, and Anthony, you know me, I never sugarcoat it.
You don't.
And thank you, Justine, for also being there. I love you. I love you both, and you're doing such a great job.
Thank you.
I want to go back much further than the pandemic, because a lot of the businesses, had they been strong when we first started trying to make them strong in the 80s and earlier, that the pandemic would not hit as hard. And I'm going back to the 1980s and the early 90s and the early 2000s, and I hope that that's where this conversation is going, because where we need to go. You know, small businesses are actually working in silos.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's doing their own thing and not realizing that if they all work together, that we would have a better chance. You know, I was in business in Maryland for over 30 years, about 35 years, and started in the basement of my home.
Wow.
An unemployment check. So, and also hello to, Carol Williams?
Yes.
Your co-host.
Yes.
I didn't want to leave you out.
Thank you.
You know, there are so many different small businesses, like the healthcare industry. There were, and I worked in every one of these. Harold Adams, Walter Carter, Michael Carter. Delegate Pete Rollins, and I'm going back in the early 80s when we were trying to get small businesses to come together in order to become stronger. And at that time, the Office of Healthcare Quality and DDA, there are billions of dollars, and they're still going to small businesses now. And over 200 businesses in Maryland, only five at that time were Black, and they tried to get the five of us to merge into one.
Wow.
So so that we could do business as one, and when I pushed back and said no, then they actually came after me. As a matter of fact, that's the reason that I ran for the House of Delegates, because I didn't see anybody in Annapolis who looked like me, who represents me. And then there's the construction industry. You know, we had problems with separating 501c3 nonprofits from for profits, because when the governor would make the announcement that so many millions of dollars going into minority businesses, he was including 501c3 nonprofits. So when I went in and showed where that was not the case, where for-profits and nonprofits are not the same, and that there should be a separation, my bill, when I was in the House of Delegates, passed in order to separate that. But then now that you have younger people going in who know absolutely nothing about business.
Wow.
And now they're putting in bills in order to undo what we have done. So small businesses, minority businesses, need to be represented at the state level, at the state level, at the city level, and Congress. You know, Congressman Elijah Cummings and Congresswoman Maxine Waters and I work together because minority businesses in the franchise business are being discriminated in Maryland. I thought it was just in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I met with Maxine Waters, I found out that it was across the board. And we met with people from Texas also doing the same thing of being discriminated against. So I put a bill in when I was in a Senate, actually started when I was in the House of Delegates, to put in rules and regulations to help our small businesses in the franchise industry. Because there was one woman had been in business for 25 years, and when it changed hands, she was ousted.
Mm.
You know, and then you had individuals who were in the healthcare industry. There were not rules put in, and individuals, they closed two of those industries, which left those businesses, which left only two. Then you had and I know that I'm going back and talking about discrimination and things that are happening, but I'm talking about these things because when, Mayor Stephanie Rawlins Blake
mm-hmm.
put in a committee of minority advisors we met for a whole year to determine how was the minority businesses, women-owned businesses, and disadvantaged businesses, how were they doing business with the city. And when she left, all of those things that we worked on for a full year was never implemented.
Mm.
And then there was another, Martin O'Malley had put in a minority business committee that we all met for a year to determine what could small businesses and minority businesses do in order to be stronger. None of those things were put in place. And now you have it just last week, two nights ago actually, down at the Board of Estimates when Motorola, they were
That's right.
whether or not Motorola should be granted a certain contract. When I was the chair of the Legislative Black Caucus,
mm-hmm.
I had 25 minority businesses in a room talking about what they were not getting from Motorola.
Wow.
This just did not just happen. And Tim Brown, the person who was down there this past week, was one of the people in the room. So things have not changed. You know, and when the Public Service Commission, they talk about giving 15% to minority businesses. When I was in the House of Delegates, I was fighting with the Public Service Commission on the PC-16 Memorandum of Understanding, where they were supposed to be giving minority businesses 29%.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Not 15. So what I'm saying is that we seem to be going backwards instead of forwards because it's, you know, the black tourism, they are having a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The construction companies, they are having a problem. Ray Haysburg and Walter Dean and I started the Greater Baltimore Black Chamber of Commerce
yep.
in order to help small businesses. And they are doing the best that they can. And I'm also going back to Ignolia McMillan, and I have pictures of Walter Dean and Ignolia and me standing there when I'm coming into Baltimore with my business back in the 80s. We have been fighting since then is what I am saying. I know mm-hmm. I'm all over the page.
That's all right.
But it bothers me when we are still fighting the same fight. You know, I look at the Legislative Black Caucus. Clarence Blount had a retreat in 1963, whenever it was. anyway, it took 33 years before another retreat was held in order to look at my business back in the 80s. We have been to look at what's happening with small businesses. And that retreat, 33 years later, was put together by Barbara Robinson. And at that time, they still said the things that Clarence Blount was fighting for, 33 years later, we're still fighting the same fight. And it bothers me that we as black businesses don't see that we would gain more ground working together than we would working apart. This pandemic came in, and it came in, and it hit us where we're weak. It hit us because we have not been standing strong together. We have not looked at what it is that we need to do in order to stand. And then when we look at, you know, we talk about the monies that, what is it, what did you call it, the paycheck?
PPPs, Paycheck Protection.
From Small Business Administration. And it's still monies that you're going to borrow that you're going to have to pay back.
That you're going to pay back, that's right.
So if you can't pay your people now, what makes you think that you're going to be able to pay them back then? You know, I was a small business 8A. I was in the small business 8A program when it first started years ago, and I was there for 10 years. And they had this they called 7J. Now it's 7A. They call a 7J program. People coming in supposed to be helping small business, but when they sent a 7J program in to help me, I turned around and was helping them. Because I had been out there beating the bushes so long, they had no clue what they were talking about. Because they're sending people in to teach small businesses that got their degrees in school. And I'm not putting anything against degrees because
of course.
I have several degrees as well in business. But it is better to be out here hitting the grounds and worrying about how you're going to make your next payroll, or how you're going to market your company, or how you're going to get your next contract. Individuals who just have a degree in business really don't understand what it is to actually run a business. And I can say that because one of my degrees is in business development, and I've taught business development. And I've been in business for over 35 years, so I can see both sides of the coin. And until we realize that we need to get together, and we also need to realize that individuals that we are putting in office to represent us, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with young people going in, but what I'm saying is that the young people need to learn from the older ones. You know, if you are going to take a position as a delegate, then if you are going into a position where somebody has always been, find out what did they leave undone. And then you go and finish that instead of trying to reinvent the wheel.
That's
you know, good. Just like Nathaniel McFadden. You know, what did you leave that did not get through while you were there, and what needs to be done? I know I left a whole lot of bills there, and that was one of the reasons that I wanted to get back. I didn't need to go back to Annapolis for a paycheck. I didn't need to go back there to get recognized. I had written 5 books when I got to Annapolis.
Wow.
You know, I have awards on my walls now before I got to Annapolis. I wanted to go to Annapolis to help individuals in the healthcare industry that were being put out of business because there were not rules and regulations in order to help them.
So, Senator Robinson, we were just talking about PPPs, and the real reason that, you know, the PPP was even put forth was to help keep Americans on payroll with businesses with less than 500 people. But they ended up giving it to businesses that were much bigger. Do you think that there was a way that that could have been controlled? Do you think there was a way that it could have been policed so that the smaller business owners could forfeit could get that money?
Absolutely, because your lawmakers are in Annapolis, and your lawmakers are in D.C. but your lawmakers for your state businesses are in Annapolis. And if individuals in Annapolis understand, you know, the state always said the small business, 50 people or more. I said a small business, 10 or more, 5 or more.
Yeah.
That's who needs the help. That's who needs to be regulated with the money that's coming to them, because the small businesses are growing or can grow if they get help from those who are making the laws. But the problem is, again, individuals who are making laws don't understand small business. You know, and if they do, they don't look like you and they don't look like me. I can remember being in a committee talking about business when nobody understood S Corporation and C Corporation. And when they started talking about that, they were talking about white women and white males. They were not talking about small businesses, minority businesses.
Mm-hmm.
If so, that's what you were asking,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it could have been regulated.
Yeah, that's what I was asking, because we know that the L.A. Lakers got money, and then after everybody was out crying, they gave the money back, but everybody was looking for them to get the money back. But that's not even a question. I mean, if you say L.A. Lakers, everybody knows that they have the money, that they shouldn't even be getting that PPP. So I don't understand how it could not have been regulated better.
So, Senator, let me ask you, if elected officials had gotten together long before we even had a pandemic, but in the way that you were explaining it to us, would they have been in a better position to advocate for minority businesses, small businesses, if they'd been working together all along, as opposed to working in these silos? And how in the world what are the questions we need to ask these elected officials? Because honestly, I get very frustrated. People running for office who've never ever had to meet a payroll, mm-hmm. never ever had to get health care for their employees. And it really is frustrating, because I'm wondering, what life experiences are you bringing to serving in public mm-hmm. office?
You know, one of the things, when I put in House Bill 48 that separated minority 501c3s mm-hmm. from nonprofits, and that was brought to me because there was a black woman that for years had been providing cleaning services at the airport. And then a white agency came in, and that contract was gone from her to that white company. Mm. And when she came in to me, and we sat and talked, and they were saying that this white company that took over her contract was a minority because it was a nonprofit. And that's when I put in my bill to separate nonprofit, because it was not a nonprofit. I mean, it was not a minority business.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nonprofit business. So when I put that bill in and it did pass, Anthony Brown sat with me for over 9 o'clock in my office putting that bill together under Martin O'Malley. So when the bill actually came, and all of many of the small businesses, the minority businesses, including Wayne Frazier and Joel Yvette, we started it rejoicing, because now we can separate the funding, the nonprofit funding, from the for-profit funding. So when that bill passed, and it passed when I was a delegate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting in the Senate, and this bill comes across the floor now I'm a senator, and this bill comes across the floor where the attorneys for these nonprofits has gone to a delegate and had this delegate to introduce a bill to undo what I had done. And the fact that I was sitting on the floor and recognized that bill, I was able to stop it from being passed at the Senate.
Mm.
So this is what I'm talking about. You have individuals who are coming in who have absolutely no clue about small business development, about the difference between minority, disadvantaged, veterans of whatever, none at all,
mm-hmm.
coming in, making decisions. They'll show up for photo ops.
Mm.
They won't even come to talk to small businesses.
Of course.
To find out what are your needs? What do you need me to do? What language should I use? They don't go there. They will go in and they will put in something about a baseball field or something trivial just to say that I passed five bills. And all five of those bills mean absolutely nothing if you don't put in something that would actually bring money to the community or to businesses. You know, this is what we need. You need to look at the we need to educate our voters. Because when you say, well, she's a good girl, I mean, we go out together, or he's a good guy, he reminds me of my grandson, or she's a great girl, and because she used to do my hair, and all of these kind of foolish things that we look at, and that's the reason that we vote people in, because of how we worked with them socially. And we're not looking, we don't need socializing. We need somebody who understands what the problems are.
Very true. Folks, if you'd like to join us, if you have any questions for Senator Robinson, give us a call at 410-319-8888. Dwayne, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Anthony.
Appreciate you calling.
So I have a comment and a question. I mean, the comment is, you know, every experience is a learning experience. And although, you know, we certainly want people to have experience, you know, we don't want a legislative situation where, you know, we can't get fresh minds and new ways of thinking into the legislature as well. Mm-hmm. So my question is, you know, what can we do to educate these people and or call them out if they're just there for posing and looking good and padding up their resume as they try to move on to something bigger and better? I mean, I think we should consider, you know, educating them and or calling them out for just being posers.
Very good question, Dwayne.
You know what? Our past is somebody else's future. And the fact that we have been there, done that, and got the T-shirt to show it, that means that those who are coming behind us should actually sit and talk with those of us who've been there. You know, when I first got to Annapolis, for a whole year, I did absolutely nothing but follow Hattie Harrison and Ruth Kirk around to find out what should I be doing, what's needed, what do I need to do. You have individuals going now, go in and start trying to put in bills. I'm not going to say that they're not necessary, because they are. And I'm not going to say that we don't need new blood. We do need new blood. You know, we need to pass the baton. But we need to pass the baton to those who are ready to accept it. And being ready to accept it means being ready to listen, being ready to learn, and being able to carry on the things that we have already done. You know, if I built a mousetrap in 1950, and then there's different animals in 1980, find out what I did in 1950 and build on that to make a better mousetrap in 1980. It's all good if you learn.
I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, I think Dwayne really hit it on the head when he said, how do we educate these people? And it really takes former legislators like you to explain the process. But they got to be willing to learn. They got to ask those questions like you did for that year as you learned, what should I be doing for the people who sent me here to represent them?
You know, I just put out a book maybe 7 or 8 months ago. It's called Through It All. And I talk about racism and things that happened in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. That's my lifetime. And I talk about that in that book. And then I follow up with that book, and I talk I have another one that's coming out, and it's called Because I'm Black. You know, and these are things that are happening. Oftentimes, we don't think that we have enough worthwhileness in our own selves in order to figure out what it is that we can do. Oh, I can't do that, or I can't learn that, or You know, one of the things that we need to actually teach, and that's civics. You know, what? How do you pass a bill in Annapolis?
Mm-hmm.
What should you be looking for in Annapolis? How do you get a bill passed? And what should you be looking for in your legislator, in your senator, in your delegate, in your congressman, in your congresswoman, in your city council person? What are the things that you actually should be looking for? You know, you don't be looking for how good they look or how much fun you have with them. If you're actually serious about making your life better,
mm-hmm.
making the generations that are coming behind you better, then look at what is it that you need to do in order to make them better. You know, I would go to, when I was running, I went to 60 churches in 1 year,
mm-hmm.
you know, listening to what's going on in the churches. And there were over 100 and something, 160, 170 something community organizations in my district. I went to every one of them at least once.
Wow.
So, listening to what the people are saying. Because not, you know, instead of we talking about, I'm a great politician, don't be a politician. Be a servant of the people. Because that's who sent you there. The people sent you there to represent them in Annapolis.
Senator, we have a bunch of callers on the line who want to get in a question for you. Let's go to Robert, calling from Baltimore. Robert, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Hey, thank you. Hallelujah. We finally got a politician representative on the radio that's not about her license plate on her car. I just want to thank God that I'm alive and heard some very substance response. And this is coming from my heart. And Dwayne, you hit it, and you know, we can nail them. Whatever. I just want to thank God I heard it.
Thank you.
I will never press you because I know you're doing it.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. So let's go to Dr. Eric. Dr. Eric, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Hey, I don't have a question, but all I can say, I commend her. She came with the solution, the facts, the resolution. You have nailed it, Senator. It's one of the best conversations I've heard.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you for your wisdom, your knowledge, your service of how you've given us from A to Z, allowing us to get through the middle process of it. And you gave all the information, the tools that we need, what we need to learn and to grow. And even as the scriptures is called, you know, the old, because they know the way. And, you know, the young, because of what you've given us, the tools and the necessary information. So thank you for your service, your legacy, your wisdom, and everything you have shared. And they say, you know, come with the solution. Come, you got a problem. What's the solution to it? What's the fact? Or how do we strategize? And you have given that. This has been one of the best conversations.
Oh.
Anthony, I appreciate you.
Thank you, Dr. Eric.
You have had this amazing woman to share this information and knowledge. This is what we need, and this is what we need to hear, because she came with everything we need to strategize the facts, the solutions, all of that. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have one more caller. Kim Trueheart, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Good evening.
Hey, Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Barbara, I'm so glad to hear your voice. You're sharing wisdom, and it's important that you and others get on the radio, talk it up, because these young people, you know, I remember sitting in meetings with you and around that Bob Wallace group.
Absolutely.
Stephanie Rollins put together. I was only one of a few citizens that actually showed up for those meetings.
That's right.
But what was good was you guys listened, and you listened to me, and I was not a member of your committee. But as a concerned citizen, I had ideas.
Yeah,
I worked 26 years in business in the federal government.
That's true.
I gave you suggestions, and you thankfully took them and ran with them. And I'm so thankful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim Trueheart.
I thank you. you know. And she's absolutely right. Stephanie Rawlings Blake, when she put that group together, those of us together, there were 25 of us, and one, Bob Wallace, headed that group, you know. So she, and I got to give Stephanie kudos.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go and look at who her friends were.
That's right.
He actually went to get people who had been in business, who are in business, and put all 25 of us together under the tutelage of Bob Wallace. I know Bob. Well, Bob and I go way back when I wrote my first book and he wrote his first book. We were on the book signing trail together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and book number 9 of mine will be coming out soon. And so when I saw Bob as the leader, I said, absolutely right. Absolutely right. So when she got business owners and those of not necessarily owning, but those who had been business owners to come to
Senator, that music you hear is a sign that we're out of time.
Oh, okay.
So you have been phenomenal. Thank you for spending time with us. Thank you for talking about small businesses with us. And we're going to have you again on the two-way talk so that we can talk about small and minority businesses.
Thank you, Senator.
Much. Appreciate your time. We'll be right back.
Good evening. Taking a look at MARC trains, we do have on the